Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the first letter of John, starting at chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone who obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. This is the word of the Lord.
Hi, everyone. Starting a new series in 1 John today. Absolutely great book, quite philosophical, quite introspective. Invites us to look at ourselves, look at the world around us, think about it. It takes various themes and goes around and round in circles, looking at them from different angles. Themes like love, one theme that we'll be looking at a bit later on. So as we come to look at 1 John, let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have chosen to speak to us. Thank you, Father, that you do have a particular message of hope to bring to us. And so we pray that this message this morning would be your words and not mine. We pray that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I've got something over here to just help me out, so I'm just going to get that.
I'm off camera, so I have to explain what I'm doing. People at home can't see where I'm going. Here we go.
Got some of my granddad's paintings here. Quite nice, isn't it? Got that one there. Got a few to show you this morning. What bird is that? Is it a heron? Great. That's good. We've got this one here as well. It's property in Kent, I think one they visited quite a lot. This isn't their house, but very nice house anyway. So a few paintings of my granddad's. Here we go. Which one isn't like the others? Bit of a stupid question, really, but what we've got in our text today, this helps illustrate the point, is that God looks a certain way, and the people who follow God are all supposed to look this certain way as well. And if they don't, if they stand out as being different from that, then they do not belong to God. So this morning, we are going to find out whether we belong to God or not. And that question is immensely important, because if you belong to God, then you belong to the source of life, and you have hope beyond the grave. And if you do not belong to God, then you do not have that hope. All of us are only going to spend 90, 100 years at most on this earth, and it's good to know that we have hope beyond that if we belong to our Creator. So that's the message we're looking at, and we're zooming in on just three verses of that long reading we had before. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7, if you've got a Bible there. And let's look at the text. The title for today's sermon, Are You Living in the Light? So the way in which God is described is light, and the people who belong to God are those who live in the light. They are the ones who look like God. So are you living in the light? Let's look at our text. I find it exciting because of how it's introduced. These three verses, verses 5 to 7, they're introduced in the rest of his letter by John saying something like, there is something that we have seen and heard, and we need to pass on to you. John lived about 2,000 years ago, at the same time as Jesus, of course. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and he wrote a very well-known biography of Jesus, which is John's Gospel. And he had a message that he needed to pass on. It was something that he had seen, something that he had heard. Listen to how he starts this letter and how much this is emphasized over and over again. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim. Verse 2, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim it to you. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. There is something we have seen and heard that we need to tell you. And today, we're looking at verses 5 to 7, which start with, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. I got quite excited about that. I don't know if I've managed to pass that excitement on. This is the message. So what is that message? God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. What does he mean? Well, we kind of get it, don't we? Darkness, light, God, evil and good. But he could have said, God is good, and in him is no evil at all. But he hasn't. He said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Because light means so much more than goodness, doesn't it? By light, we can see where we're going. Light symbolizes openness and truth. By light, we can enjoy color and perspective. I've got a friend who only has two-dimensional vision. I think only one of his eyes functions at any one time. And he can still drive a car and fly a plane, which I find a bit alarming, but one of the things that I really enjoy, I don't know about you, is walking through the woods and just watching trees passing each other in perspective. Wonderful thing. And looking out here on the congregation, different perspective. All of this is possible because of light. Light is pure. You can't really contaminate light. Light is spectacular. The LED screen at the Eurovision Song Contest is apparently 36 meters wide and 12 meters tall. You couldn't fit it in this room at all. And they do that because they know that light is spectacular. And finally, light is life. We would not be here today without light. God is light because he is every good thing you can imagine. 1,000 years ago, the Archbishop of Canterbury, a guy called Anselm, wrote, O Lord, you are greater than can be thought. Truly this is the inaccessible light in which you dwell. It is too resplendent for me. My understanding is not able to comprehend this light, which shines forth too brilliantly. My understanding does not grasp it, and the eye of my soul cannot bear to gaze at length upon it. My soul's eye is dazzled by its splendor, overcome by its vastness, overwhelmed by its intensity. God is the best of everything, and there isn't even a trace of whatever is bad in him. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the particular way God looks is light, and if he looks that way, people who belong to him have to look that way too. How is that possible? Let me read the rest of our text. If we claim to have fellowship with him, that is, if we claim to belong to God, if we claim to be part of what he's doing, to have experienced his salvation, if we claim to have his Holy Spirit living in us, if we claim to have eternal life and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. I want you to notice that it's one or the other this morning. You're either belonging to God and living in the light and walking in the light, or you're not. And it raises the obvious question, where are you this morning? I'll come back to that. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I imagine everyone this morning listening will fall into one of these four categories. Either you know you're walking in the light, or you're not sure, or you know you're not walking in the light, or you don't care. And I want to speak to the last two of those for a second. You know you're not walking in the light, or you don't care. The last sentence of our text is at the very heart of the Christian faith. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is light because he is pure, and because he is pure, he rejects everything that is not 100% pure, and that includes us, because none of us is perfect. And if he rejects us, that means we are cut off from the source of our life, and to keep the picture going, the source of our light, the source of our happiness, our well-being, our wholeness. And our final destiny will be darkness, isolation, brokenness, despair. I don't have anything against people who go to the gym. I've spent a lot of time in the gym myself. But if we're there working out to improve our health and we're cut off from the source of our light, the source of our health and our wholeness, then that health is going to be very temporary that we achieve in the gym. And it will never see us beyond the grave. God is pure. And if we want to belong to him and be in his presence, then we need to be pure. That purity is a frightening thing. One preacher said, the sun will burn your eyes out from a distance of 92 million miles. That's a nice thought. And do you expect to casually stroll into the presence of its maker? We need to be purified. And the only thing that can do that is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But to receive the benefit of that, we need to be walking in the light. We've just read, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we're walking in darkness, it doesn't. And so the question for those two categories of people who know they're not walking in the light, people who don't care, also people who don't know whether they're in the light or not, is, what does it mean to walk in the light? It's a question that affects all of us. So here are two signs that you're walking in the light. The first is that light shows up the darkness, and the second is the light defeats the darkness. Might be a bit cliched, but it's true. The light defeats the darkness. So first of those, the light shows up the darkness. If I'd kept reading Anselm of Canterbury, a few lines later, as he struggles to grasp the divine light. He cries out, "I tried to mount upward to the divine light, but I lapsed downward into my own darkness. Help me, O Lord, because of your goodness." Light for God, being light for God, means having no darkness. Living in light for us, unfortunately, sadly, means that the darkness is visible. It shows up, the darkness. Vanta black is one of the darkest materials known to people. I think it probably is the darkest, made of little nanotubes. You've probably seen the BMW X6 coated in it. Pretty cool, I think. Very dark material. It absorbs almost every bit of light falling on it. But in a dark room, obviously you can't tell that it's any darker than its surroundings because it's all dark. It's only when a light is shining in that room that you actually see how dark this material is. Living in light, sadly, means that our darkness becomes visible. John writes, "If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I've got a little video to play, and I want this to be played respectfully to the person involved. But it does show that he's not walking in the light. So can we have the video, please?
Why do I have to, you know, repent? Why do I have to ask for forgiveness if you're not making mistakes? I work hard. I'm an honorable person.
I don't have any sin. Why do I need to repent? We should pray for Donald Trump because we're commanded to pray for people with authority. And I think that video shows that he is not walking in the light. He doesn't belong to God. And that's a serious thing. Now, if you're anything like me, I leave sermons like this and I don't bother praying for the person that's just been told to pray for. So why don't we pray now for Donald Trump? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we lift up to you Donald Trump, who has just said he has no need to repent, he has no sin. And Lord, we see this as a sign that he is in darkness, because his sin has not been shown up by your light. We pray, Father, that you would bring him to true repentance, that your light would shine in his heart to show him who he truly is, so that he would turn to Christ for forgiveness. And may he start walking in the light. We pray this not just for him, but for all of our leaders. Lord, please bring them to the light, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we deny that we have any sin, then we haven't seen the darkness in us. But for everyone who walks in the light, this next verse is a continuous source of hope and comfort, isn't it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We can go straight to God and tell him about the darkness in our hearts, and we can repent. We can say we don't want to keep hold of it anymore. We want to be free. We want his light to come inside us. We want to be changed. And doing that is the first sign that you are walking in the light. John prayed a prayer of confession earlier. So much we could confess, isn't there? There's our selfish thoughts and actions. There's the fact that we don't worship God as we should. We've idolized comfort and control and influence and popularity and things we can buy, and we've fed ourselves at the expense of the hungry, and we've neglected to love our neighbors, ourselves, and the list goes on and on. And there is a lot of darkness in ourselves. But Jesus' blood purifies us from sin. Now, I also want to bring a couple of other verses into this mix as well. We're talking at the moment about really the relationship directly between us and God. We confess our sins to God, God forgives us. But the Bible doesn't just talk about that. It also talks about confessing our sins to one another. And so in James's letter, James 5:16, he says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." And this is a Protestant church, so we don't have a confessional. We don't have a priest who receives confession for sins and then grants absolution. We believe we can go straight to Christ, our high priest, and receive forgiveness of our sins. But that doesn't take away this little uncomfortable verse in James that says, confess your sins to one another. And if we want to bring light and darkness into it, we can ask Paul to help us in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5. He says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Very cryptic, isn't it? But when we link it all together, we see that this is talking about praying for one another. I'm not talking about asking each one of you to come up to the front here and say, you know, here are all the things I've done wrong this week. Neither am I talking about you going to Chris or to Bernie or coming to me and confessing your sins. But just finding one Christian in whom you can confide and making that leap into the light of saying, I'm struggling with this, can we pray about it together? I find that really uncomfortable. I don't know how you're feeling right now. But that's a challenge for all of us walking in the light to go away this week and to make a change. Find someone in whom we can confide and tell them about the darkness inside us so that it can become a light. Claim that promise from Ephesians. The second sign is that light defeats the darkness. And it does that in quite a specific way, according to John here in his letter. And it sort of builds on what I've already been saying about our relationship with one another. It's this: light leads to love. Back in our text, if we claim to have fellowship with him, that is God, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. No. Yes. We have fellowship with him and one another. This is one of the ways in which John sort of cycles around these themes. I love it. It's, again, introspective. It's designed to make us think about things. Yes, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with each other. And earlier, when Chris was reading, we read about the opposite of walking in the light. This is chapter 2, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. Light leads to love. Love is a big theme in 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So this second sign that we're walking in light today is that there is love between us. And we could put it like this. The sign that we're walking in light is that the church is not an event or a program. It's a family. Now, if you're thinking, well, I knew that, that's obvious. That's probably, judging from the people I'm looking at in front of me, because you're walking in the light. And just thank God, because isn't that an awesome place to be? We belong to God and we're walking in the light. Church is a family. It's where you belong. You feel part of it. You play a part in it. You contribute to it. It's where your closest friends are. It's the place you find relief from the anxieties of life. It's the place where you're understood for who you really are. It's the place where you're enabled to deal with life's challenges. It's the place where you're connected with your peers and people of all ages. It's where you go for advice. It's where you grow as a person. And it's where you're pointed to God. Now, if you're thinking, well, that would be nice, then that's the direction we're heading in. We're not perfect, and so we might not be entirely there yet all the time. But that is the direction we're heading in. Light leads to that kind of love. We need to play our part, of course. I read a really great tweet that said, the teenager who looks out over the congregation and thinks, these are my people, this is where I belong, is most likely to look up and say, you are my God. I belong in your presence. I would almost go as far as to say that living in the light is as much about your relationship with the people sitting around you and with the people watching on the live stream, as it is about your relationship with God. Because you cannot have one without the other. The book of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all of that period of history, God slams the Israelites over and over again, partly because they've forsaken him and worshipped idols, but partly, and it's a big part, because they are mistreating each other and they are not loving one another. We need to have love for one another if we're to be walking in the light. But in a world where God is invisible to our sight, at least, and the life of faith is hard, that is actually a tremendous gift. It's not something for us to run away from. Loneliness isn't a happy place, of course, but to share our journey with others who are walking in the light is a real source of strength and lasting joy. So I want to commend that to you as part of the life of light. Two signs then. The light shows up the darkness, and the light defeats the darkness. And now is an invitation just to weigh yourself up against those and see, are you walking in the light? And I want to conclude with words from John's introduction. And I want you to hear how this idea of fellowship between us, fellowship with God, all comes into one thing. John says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy, your joy, all of our joy, complete." Let's close in prayer that we're living in the light, and we'll continue to do so this week. Father in heaven, you are light, and we cannot come into your presence without being purified by the blood of Jesus. Please reveal our darkness so that we come to you for that healing and that cleansing. And please help us to live in love, loving one another, confessing our sins to one another and praying for one another, walking together through this journey of life so that we would please you and continue to walk in the light, both today and in this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.